Question of Balance with your host, Ruth Coplin. In the first hour of the show, we ask questions that matter, discussing topics with local relevance and global significance. And now, here's your host for It's a Question of Balance, Ruth Coplin.
Welcome to the show. I hope you've had a pleasant week, a fulfilling week. And if you haven't, then hopefully this show will help it to get better for you. If you're a new listener, I wanted to let you know that in this, the first hour, we have our Out and About feature, where I go and interview people on the street on a different topic each week. And we avoid politics, which often instantly polarizes people. And instead, we look at timeless issues that underlie current events, politics, and our daily lives. In the second hour, I feature in-depth interviews with highly talented guests from the arts. And for the arts interview in the second hour, I'm pleased to be interviewing award-winning singer-songwriter and writer Tyler Stenson, known for his beautifully crafted lyrics and his mellow, haunting music and vocals. Tyler is one of the Northwest premier songwriters, twice named the Songwriter of the Year by the Portland Songwriters Association and Best Male Artist at the 2011 Portland Music Awards. Tyler was named Reverb Nation's Breaking Artist in 2013 and was a top 10 finalist in Guitar Center's search for the next great American songwriter, chosen out of 10,000 songwriters. And out of nearly 4,000 bands, Tyler was hand-selected by Adam Duritz of Counting Crows and Ryan Spalding of RSL Blog to perform at South by Southwest. He's opened for Leanne Rimes, Chris Isaak, John Popper, Mattis Yahoo, Fuel, Gusta, and many more, and has toured the four corners of America. He's got 10 albums to his name, including the wonderful Some Days I'm a Lion. We're going to be playing some of his tracks, talking to him about his new single and his upcoming children's Christmas book. So that's in the second hour. In this hour, we're considering, does the internet increase or decrease empathy? I've been out and about getting opinions on the street as usual. Perhaps as you listen, you can wonder how you would have responded to the questions had I stopped you. Remember, you can email me, ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. If you have any comments, I'd love to hear your opinions. But first this week, I spoke to Kevin and Tess. So let's see what they have to say. Coplin from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
I'm Kevin.
I'm Tess.
Well, thanks so much for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week we're considering, does the internet decrease or increase empathy? Research led by Sarah H. Conrath of the University of Michigan at Ann Arbor, published online in Personality and Social Psychology Review, found that college students' self-reported empathy has declined since 1980, with an especially steep drop in the past 10 years. To make matters worse, during this same period, students' self-reported narcissism has reached new heights, according to research by Jean M. Twenge, a psychologist at San Diego State University. So I'm wondering whether you have observed a decrease in empathy in the people around you.
Yeah, I definitely have. I feel like through social media and through the internet, there's like an instant gratification and like a self-focus to be affirmed. And so we've kind of like been desensitized to people's pain, I think, because it's so easily accessed. And we don't really get to like always, we read stories, but we don't get to like see people's stories always. And yeah, I think it's like desensitized us a lot.
And what about you? Do you think you've noticed less empathy in people around you?
Yeah, I think so. I think that the internet and Facebook and social media allow us to know a lot of things about people without actually knowing them. And then that makes us feel like able to make judgments about them just because we know all these things, but we don't actually know their character. We don't know the person. And so, yeah, I think that decreases empathy. I think it removes... It's like a degree removed from face-to-face interaction, which, I mean, it's way easier to be empathetic when you're in person with someone.
Right, yeah. I mean, social media has been used a lot to raise money for sort of tragedies and things like that. But do you think awareness of those tragedies is actually increasing empathy? when we have no personal contact with those people, or do you think that giving money to things like that is about something else?
I think it's increasing awareness, but I don't think it's increasing empathy.
Okay.
In the sense of like more people are understanding what's going on because it's being like projected worldwide and you can easily access it. But I think there's like a detachment between seeing it and then really like experiencing and having empathy for what's going on.
So why do you think people give money? Do you think it's not about empathy? It's more about assuaging one's conscience, or?
Yeah, I mean, I think like you can't make the generalization that no one does it out of empathy. No. But I think like a large part of it is like, yeah, I have a conviction of like, check it off the list. Like, oh, I gave to that. Like, I feel better and kind of like,
right.
Yeah, fill the void of like, oh, I should do something. And so you do it.
What do you think about people, you know, stepping up when there's tragedies and things like that through social media?
I would agree that it's not necessarily through empathy. I think it's typically more of like a guilt thing, or like out of obligation, or it makes you feel better that you're not just seeing these tragedies and scrolling past. Like you feel like you've done your job as your duty as a citizen or something.
Right, yeah. One could argue that sharing common experiences through social media or gaming can increase understanding of each other and empathy if the quality of those interactions is high. So I'm wondering in that case if you think it's the quality of our relationships on the internet that determine whether our empathy is increased or decreased. I mean, do you think it's possible to have deep relationships through social media that could give us the same sense of paying attention to one another that could result in empathy? Or do you think you have to have personal contact?
I'd say I think there's potential for that, but right now I don't think we're there.
No.
And I think, yeah, there's just, personally, I think there's something so special about face-to-face interaction and physical contact and like sitting down with someone face-to-face and getting to hear their story and what's going on and having empathy. Yeah. I mean,
do you think that's because we don't see people as fully human on the internet?
Yeah, I think social media can dehumanize people
right.
in a big way.
What are your thoughts?
I agree. I think, I mean, I can't think of a way, I'm sure, or well, maybe it's possible, but I can't think of a way that you could have those deep, meaningful relationships through social media. I think one thing that comes to mind where I think empathy actually, like, empathy is experienced and reached is, have you heard of Humans of New York? So it's like a photojournalist and they go around New York and interview people and post a photo on Instagram and then tell a snippet of their story. And I think that is a really like vulnerable thing that that they're doing. And so yeah. I think people read that and feel empathetic and I don't know, I think that's a step towards a deeper meaningful relationship. But
yes. Yeah. I mean, I guess in a way, I suppose I should distinguish between different things on the internet, because social media is one thing, but then if you're reading stories, for instance, or whatever about people's lives, or watching, you know, things about people, there is a possibility that could increase your sense of empathy, perhaps not in your immediate circle, but in a wider sense.
I'd say, okay, this might be kind of contradicting what I said before, but I do really, like, words are super powerful. And so I think if we take, like, a conscious approach to, like, being like, I'm reading this with the mindset of I want to understand and I want to hear what they're going through, then we can almost choose empathy. And I think that, like, the internet is a platform to do that, but I think it has to be a conscious choice on our end to say, okay, I'm reading this not just to, like, be informed and, like, oh, I went through my CNN list, but to be, like, I want to be engaged in the world and actually, I would say, pray for those people and think through them and, like, kind of have them in your mindset and like yeah.
Do you think that part of the reason empathy has decreased might be through information overload, that we're just getting so much information through the internet? It's just like, oh god, another drought, another famine, another person died,
right?
Do you think? Or
yeah, I think kind of getting back to the idea of being desensitized, like there's just so much stimulation coming in, it's hard to like really filter and prioritize what's wow, that's really intense, what's going on? Because I feel like that happens, like, oh, another shooting. And I hear that, and I'm like, I feel like my heart should be more inclined to, oh my gosh, that's crazy. But I'm just like, oh wow, there was one of those last month. Which sounds evil, but there's just so much, like, evil and pain going on that you hear about it so much, and you kind of miss the intensity of it.
Do you have a sense of overwhelm from information?
Yes, for sure. I think that's one of the main problems why we don't feel empathetic is because there's so much coming at us, and it's hard to relate. It's hard to connect when it's just tragedy after tragedy that you're hearing about, and it's so far away, and you're reading about it, and it's like hard to imagine that happening in real life or in your setting, or even if it's like 5 miles down the road. It's just, there's so much coming at you. It's hard to.
And I also think, like, to stay mentally healthy, we almost have to detach ourselves from some of it, because if I were just to take on everything I heard in the media, I would just be in my room, like, depressed, you know? Like, you have to, in some sense, you can't take all of it on and feel empathetic to every pain and struggle in the world, or you would just crumble at the condition. There'd be, like, not really any hope. Yeah. So I think we can only digest a certain amount. We only have a certain capacity for how much we can handle.
I mean, I'm asking specifically about the internet decreasing or increasing empathy, but obviously, you know, there's quite a bit of research that just shows empathy has declined without saying why. I mean, do you have any other kind of ideas about why it might have decreased, or do you think it is about having the internet and the lack of social interaction and the overload of information?
I feel like that's a big part of it. I think our generation is much more self-focused than other generations. The internet's a big part of that, and I think there are also a lot of other factors in the way that our generation has been raised to feel like everything you do is good. You should be proud of everything. Everyone in team sports gets a trophy, and
exactly.
I think that I don't know, that fosters a much more selfish mindset, which keeps us from thinking about how other people are feeling. And
that's true. So there's more of a sense of entitlement, do you think? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think there's a big sense of entitlement, and we've definitely become more of like a narcissistic culture. And I think that has come from the internet and social media, but then also like family dynamics of like always being the prize child of like, you're going to change the world. And it's a very westernized way of thinking of like, I'm going to make the impact, rather than like a collectivistic mindset. It's we are going to make an impact. Yes. And so I think like, we've taken a lot of individualism and missed like the power there is of like a collective mindset.
So our community has kind of, our sense of community has lessened in a way.
I would agree.
Well, thank you so much for your thoughts. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my On the Street conversations about this week's topic: does the internet increase or decrease empathy? We're going to go to a break now, but I'll be back with more conversation after these messages.
Like the music from It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Copland? Have you ever wondered what the full songs sound like? Now you can find out by listening to the new EP, It's a Question of Balance Music, available from iTunes, Amazon, and itsaquestionofbalance.com.
About you in the rain. Did I or didn't I say it's forever? Well, I know I said it, babe, it just goes nowhere.
It's a Question of Balance Music. Download individual tracks or the whole EP from iTunes, Amazon, or itsaquestionofbalance.com.
Did you know about the Santa Cruz Art League on Broadway in Santa Cruz? Founded in 1919, it's 96 years young and provides a wonderful gallery space for local and national artists. It's a great place to view art with 14 shows a year, and also to gain support if you're an artist yourself. There are art classes and weekend workshops, many taught by open studio artists. If you become a member, you receive a newsletter, discounts on classes, gifts and exhibit entries, images of your art on the Art League website, and guaranteed participation in the annual members show. It's also a great place to meet artists. Visit the Santa Cruz Art League at 562 Broadway or the website at scal.org. That's scal.org.
Listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. I hope the interviews this week are giving you some food for thought. The next people who spoke to me were Nancy, Ariel, and Rick. So let's hear what they had to say.
Hello, my name is Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
Rick Howard.
Ariel.
Nancy.
Well, thanks so much for stopping for our Out and About feature. This week we're looking at, does the internet decrease or increase empathy? According to an article by Marianne Levine, studies have shown that increased dependence on technology has resulted in the diminishing of empathy by limiting the amount of human interaction that takes place. According to Jennifer Aker, a professor at the Graduate School of Business and co-author of The Dragonfly Effect, a recent analysis of 72 studies performed on nearly 14,000 college students between 1979 and 2009 showed a sharp decline in the empathy trait over the last 10 years. So I'm wondering whether you've observed a decrease in empathy in people around you.
I don't know. I think that, first of all, the kids that aren't out there playing anymore, they're sitting on the computer all day and there's really no interaction between, social interaction. But then, it's a double-blade sword because you get the older people that are on, like, Facebook and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think the more you get to know somebody and the more you have a relationship, even if it is through the internet, then when you're seeing them, in person, you know a little bit more about them, right. And there'll be more feelings. So I think there's more empathy that way. So I think there's both.
Okay.
I would say the positive in terms of empathy is how the social media has connected us throughout the world, and that we can actually see the plight of people far off lands, such as Syria and the Middle East right now, that a lot of us are aware of what's going on, which say 20, 30 years ago we wouldn't have been. So in that way I feel like it creates empathy. But I don't really feel like it creates empathy on a personal level, because these are stories that we hear, but they're not people that we are actually connected to. So on the personal level, I feel like it's very much decreased and people are being more and more isolated.
I mean, do you think what you're speaking of is more awareness than actual empathy? I mean, people are aware of all these things that are going on, but perhaps in some ways people have less empathy because they're like, oh my God, another conflict, another famine, another drought.
I was going to say that I think that it normalizes tragedy. And I know our community experienced a horrible tragedy this year, and many of us couldn't sleep for days on end and felt empathy for everybody at all levels of the tragedy, and yet things like this are happening all over the world, and knowing about it doesn't necessarily increase our empathy for all those people. I think that personal contact and having it really be someone that you know or someone that someone knows evokes a personal concern at a different level. The potential for empathy in knowing more is there, but I actually have not seen an increase in empathy.
I mean, one could argue that sharing common experiences through social media or gaming can increase understanding of each other and possibly empathy if the quality of those interactions is high. So I'm wondering, do you think that it's the quality of relationships you have with people on the internet that determine whether empathy is increased or decreased, or do you think it's just not possible without physical contact?
I think we have a lot more relationships
via the internet and a lot less quality and a lot more superficial relationships that don't actually develop. A relationship that would bring about empathy because you know someone through the positives of their life, especially on Facebook, that I feel like you see a few pictures of them and that you actually have no idea what their real life is actually like.
Right.
So in that way, you don't see them day to day.
You're talking about gaming. I mean, gaming is, there's an icon most of the time, and you don't know who you're playing at all. So I don't see how does that help increase the empathy at all? I mean, for me, it doesn't. So.
No. Sarah H. Conrath, a researcher at the University of Michigan at Ann Arbor, observes that the increase in social isolation has coincided with the drop in empathy. According to an article in the Scientific American by Jamil Zaki, in the past 30 years, Americans have become more likely to live alone and less likely to join groups, ranging from PTAs to political parties to casual sports teams. Several studies hint that this type of isolation can take a toll on people's attitudes towards others. Steve Duck of the University of Iowa has found that socially isolated as compared with integrated individuals evaluate others less generously after interacting with them. And Kenneth J. Rottenberg of Keele University in England has shown that lonely people are more likely to take advantage of others' trust to cheat them in laboratory games. So I'm wondering if you think the internet is directly or indirectly responsible for this sort of social isolation or whether there's other reasons.
Well, I think that I work with teens who have a sense, if you ask them, that they have a lot of friends. And then, you know, did you get together with your friends this summer? Well, no, we were online together. And to me, it's a false sense of community. I mean, I'm not saying there isn't a community, because there isn't social media, internet community. But that human contact where you feel like someone is going to be there for you in time of need isn't there just with social media. When you need someone to bring you a meal or give you a ride when your car breaks down or just sit with you through the night. And those things are important for building empathy. And then there's the whole idea of self-empathy.
Right.
Like,
yes. Yeah.
When we're isolated, it's harder to really get a perspective on our own reality and our own...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there have been studies that have shown that as well as becoming empathy decreasing, narcissism has increased. But of course, that there's healthy narcissism, which is what you're talking about being able to really understand yourself. And that seems to have gone by the by as well. Would you agree with that? Do you think people are less kind to themselves as well as other people, or less in touch with themselves?
I have really no idea on that.
Because you're not in touch. No, I'm just joking.
Possibly.
No. Ouch. I was just joking.
No, just on a tangent like that is, I just have this picture of all the kids together and they're playing their games or they're doing whatever they do on the internet.
Yeah.
And they're getting together. I'm getting together with three or four of my friends and they all sit around like we used to maybe sit around and watch TV. Do we interact when we watch TV? It depends on what kind of program we watched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we pretty much didn't with the advent of television. And now they're doing it with the computer and there's no connection. Mm. There's being together.
Yeah.
But there's no words, there's nothing spoken, and so I don't see.
Do you think part of the reduction in empathy, I mean, leaving sort of perhaps social media aside, is just an overload of information, that we're just getting so much information these days? Our lives are so busy. We seem to be just so busy, 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 and that there doesn't seem to be time. And I don't quite understand why that is. Do you have any thoughts on that? I mean, does life seem busier than it used to?
Boy, it certainly can seem busier.
Yeah.
And I hear people say that. I think if you think of young people and all the homework they have after being in school all day, they can feel overwhelmed and busy. They get overscheduled in activities and classes. So maybe that's a piece of it. So that you don't just have the time for reflection. I think that just quiet time reflecting is a great opportunity to develop self-awareness and feel what we feel empathy for others. And I notice how hard it is just to be quiet, even in my own home, for me to just turn off all the media. If I'm sitting waiting for someone in a restaurant, I'm so tempted to pull out the phone instead of just sit and notice who's there, who's in the room with me. And I think that that's how the internet has served to disconnect us, isolate us, because we've gotten uncomfortable with just being by ourselves quietly in a moment. So even though you're saying that studies show that more people live alone, I think they live alone and feel like they're connecting with people through media, but they're not necessarily connecting on a deep level,
right,
on a personal level, and they're not necessarily spending just quality quiet time together, or alone, I mean, alone.
Nancy's mom just died last week, and I'm sitting here going, what can I do to help, you know? Can I do this, can I do that? And she wants to just sit and be, and that's what she said. I like to just sit and be for a while.
Yes.
And we don't have time to do that. I mean, from your question, we are busy. But it's like people say, you know, we're hurrying up to die. Mm. And it's great to have an example, at least like her, that says, okay, let's be quiet for a while.
Yeah.
Turn the TV off, turn the phone off, and let's just be, not even play cards or do anything, just be. And I'm not very good at that.
No.
I don't really know how to do that very well, but maybe meditation. But.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, sorry, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, the interaction between strangers, I feel like, has decreased dramatically. Because if you're in a public setting where you're waiting for something, you're waiting in line, you go to the grocery store, or the doctor's office, or wherever you are, everyone's on their phone. Like, if you look around, 90%+ of people are on their phone. And the past strangers, if you have a half hour and you're just sitting there, like, you might talk to somebody, but it's almost become rude to interrupt somebody.
New York Times communication professor Clifford Nass has expressed concern that heavy use of technology is changing the way people interact with each other, because he says the way we become more human is by paying attention to each other. It shows how much you care. So I think that's what you're speaking to, really, is that we're really not paying attention properly to a lot of things.
Yeah. Very much so.
Yeah.
Well, there's an app for every way to pay attention now. You know, get your icon on that, press the button, and you're paying attention. So, yes. I don't know, it's kind of just joking around, but it's pretty true.
Well, it also seems it's very easy to push everything to be about the outside. We're living from the outside in rather than the inside out. And what you were saying about you wanted to spend some time just being inside, it's like people don't even know how to do that anymore. I mean, you're younger. Do you spend any time contemplating?
I do, but
I'm gonna pick on you.
No, I do, but I definitely do less than I did. I've had an iPhone for what, under 2 years, and I feel like my time of contemplation has definitely changed. Mm. Whether I'm at work, if I have free time, like in between doing something, I'm often on the computer or on my phone.
Yeah.
When I'm driving, I have something playing. Like, I don't have a lot of time where I'm doing nothing. I make an effort at night to put my phone away and not be involved in anything and just think or read, but like that has to be a conscious effort. I feel like a while ago, like that went without saying that would be something I did.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, my question is specifically about the internet decreasing or increasing empathy, but you know, these studies are just showing empathy has decreased without sort of qualifying why. I mean, are there any other cultural reasons that you can see that could have contributed to that?
Well, I wonder, partly is, you mentioned earlier, the over inundation of information. Do we just become desensitized? So knowing that people are being tortured, or that the homeless people are just increasing all over this country, does that make us less empathetic, sympathetic to the homeless person we actually see as we drive by? We just think, oh, well, they're one more of those millions. Yeah. And I can't make a difference. Maybe that overwhelm sometimes is I can't really make a difference. I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to pull back.
But do you think there's more of those things going on and that's creating the overwhelm? Or do you think that we just know about these things more because of the internet? Or do you think life is actually worse and people aren't coping with that very well and that's making them less empathetic?
Well, the population in the world is increasing so much that it can't, there can't help but be more people suffering. There are more people that are wealthy and there are more people doing well, but there are also more people suffering. There's no doubt about it.
But also the population has also created a larger community. You know, we used to have these small little towns and people would know each other and they'd have the empathy, you know, oh, somebody's sick and we go over and help them out, or somebody needs, you know, a barn raising. They had a fire in their house and the community would get together. Our communities are almost too big to be able to pay attention to that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So it ends up being placed on the individual. And when you talk to an individual, it sounds like everything is great. But then when it gets to be expanded into a larger population, it doesn't work.
Which kind of speaks to what you said earlier about, for some people perhaps who are isolated, they can use the internet to connect, and that might be positive if that then leads to human interaction, like through meetup, you know, .com or something like that. You find people with interest, but then you actually translate that into a human experience, possibly.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my on-the-street conversations on this week's topic. Does the internet increase or decrease empathy? If you have any comments, do email me, ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. We're going to a break now, but I'll be back with more conversation after these messages.
Hi, this is Jackie from Integrity Event Planning. Are you coordinating an event? Don't know how you'll get it all done? Stop sweating the small stuff. We plan everything from family events to fundraising and corporate events. Contact Integrity Event Planning for your next event. Check out our website, integrityeventplanning.com. Integrity, it's what sets us apart. With 16 years of experience, we negotiate with your bottom line and needs in mind. So sit back and relax and let us serve the champagne. We've got this.
For your next event, visit integrityeventplanning.com. That's integrityeventplanning.com.
Dream, baby, dream.
Hi, I'm Casey, and I'm the second generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz. We pride ourselves on being Santa Cruz's community bookstore and have been located in the heart of downtown Santa Cruz for over 47 years. We feature an extensive selection of new and used books, children's books and toys, gifts, cards, magazines, and games. Our knowledgeable booksellers can help you find just the right book or gift. We hope you can join us for our author events each week, featuring best-selling authors and books of local interest. And if you can't get downtown, our website has over 3.2 million titles, which ship directly to your home. We even have experts on site to help you publish your own book or family history. Come visit us downtown or at our website, bookshopsantacruz.com.
It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and our Out and About feature this hour, where I go out on the street and interview people who are willing to talk to me on the topic of the week, which this week is, does the internet increase or decrease empathy? And hopefully listening to these conversations is giving you some food for thought. And I'm just wondering, how do you use the internet, and have you noticed a change in how you feel about events in the world or the people in your life? Is that something you've even thought about? I was, you know, thinking about this myself and thinking, do I feel more empathetic or less empathetic? And it wasn't actually something I'd really analyzed before, but I think it is an interesting thing to think about. And there is also this element that one of the interviewees spoke about, that we are bombarded with such a lot of information, and a lot of it is very tragic and disturbing, that there is almost a sense of self-preservation in having to shut down. So anyway, hopefully you're turning this over in your own mind and thinking about it. Well, the last people that I spoke to this week were Vincent and Zach. So let's hear their thoughts.
Hello, my name is Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
I'm Vince Steffens.
And I'm Zach.
Well, thanks so much for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week we're considering, does the internet decrease or increase empathy? Recent studies show a sharp decline in the empathy trait, especially over the last 10 years. Gary Small and Gigi Vaughan for CNN write, according to the most recent findings from the Kaiser Family Foundation, 8 to 18-year-olds on average spend 11 and a half hours a day using their technology. Their brains have become wired to use their tech gadgets effectively in order to multitask, staying connected with friends, texting and searching online endlessly, often exposing their brains to shocking and sensational images and videos. Many people are desensitizing their neural circuits to the horrors they see while not getting much, if any, offline training in empathic skills. Since middle-aged and older digital immigrants are catching up with these younger digital natives in the amounts of time they spend using technology, this empathy deficit may not be limited to just young adult and teenage brains. Empathy is learned, but it can be unlearned as well. So I'm wondering first, are you aware of a decrease in empathy in the people around you?
I mean, I haven't been alive very long. I couldn't really say that I've spotted much of a trend, no. I would say that if I've spotted any trend, it's been positive.
Okay. So you find the people around you to be quite empathetic?
Yes, I do.
And how would that be evidenced?
I noticed I had a recent health issue, and I just kind of like reached out to my friends by Facebook just to express myself about it. And a lot of them, you know, like went well out of their way to, you know, be really supportive. And you know, like without, say, a Facebook account, I wouldn't have had that sort of like emotional support from my friends.
Okay. What about you? Do you find the people around you empathetic generally?
I find, you know, you attract what you are, so I do find the people around me more empathetic, but the people that I see outside of my zone tend to scare me a bit with the way that they continue to just be interested in what their cell phone is saying. And whenever I go to restaurants or even a movie theater and just see people sitting around on the internet and not engaging with each other or caring how that's affecting the other people around them, say it their date, their parents, or whomever they are out with, I see that empathy is quite lacking in that area. So, I feel as if the internet, if it's used correctly, such as reaching out to a friend about health issues or something like that, and not being addicted to it, that's the main thing, in my opinion. A lot of people, the biggest addiction I see now is the internet, whether it be Facebook, Amazon, porn, whatever, you take your pick, you know, or even just useless, like just aimlessly being on the internet and surfing around. I feel as if that's really disconnecting people from their true selves, from God and from the earth, you know, where we're us as humans, we are born to be connected to these things. And I feel looking at a screen sort of drains your soul as well. That's my opinion. Because once I look at a screen for a period of time, I start to feel a bit depressed. I start to feel not as happy, and all these things. So my opinion is sort of the internet can either cause people to lack in empathy, or if it's used in the correct circumstances and not as an addiction, perhaps it can help with empathy.
One of the things that leads to empathy is paying attention to other people and their needs. I mean, that's one aspect that perhaps the internet does engender, perhaps a more shallow interaction. Is that something you're aware of?
I would say that it doesn't necessarily make the net amount of empathy more or less shallow. I would say that it makes it more or less visible to outside observers. But to somebody, say, sitting alone in a cafe on their phone, they may be speaking with a friend who's on the other side of the world. For instance, I recently met a friend, and she took a vacation to the Middle East. And so I was able to, you know, see what, say, Kashmir, Pakistan looks like. And so in that sense, you've got a lot of attention going on between people that wouldn't necessarily be attending towards one another. But to respond to what you said with regard to looking at a screen sort of draining your soul, I spent about a year doing vision research at UCSC, and visual information is some of the most reliable that we get. So if our ears hear something that disagrees with visual information, our brains will automatically prefer the visual information because it's so much more reliable. And because it's so detailed, it takes a lot of mental effort to actually, you know, to do vision. And that being the case, well, where's that effort coming from? Well, you have to spend energy to do it. And where's that energy coming from? It's coming from food. So the more you're spending time, you know, like the brain uses glucose only. The more you're spending time looking at something and paying attention to sharp detail, just the doing of vision, rather than even, like, say, reading text, takes a lot of energy out of you. So unless you do take breaks to, like, let your mind kind of reset, you're going to be kind of just, like, sprinting all the time, and you're going to be tired. And so you're going to be less able to, say, you know, do other things with your brain.
Hmm. That's interesting. One of the reasons put forward by researchers for the decrease in empathy, because, I mean, the studies have shown a decrease in empathy. I'm kind of possibly linking that to the internet, but there may be other reasons for that. So one reason put forward is that the current hyper-competition, which leads to a greater self-focus and perhaps seeing others more as a threat, I mean, not in terms of violence, but, you know, in terms of competition. Is that something that you're aware of that could perhaps decrease empathy?
I actually observe the opposite being true. In my own experience using the internet, I find myself exposed to lots of ideas that, like, you know, I wouldn't have ever encountered other cultures that, you know, I used to be sort of xenophobic about. And what I notice is that the more I use the internet and the more I expose myself to other people and other ideas, the more I find myself just naturally tending toward being tolerant of people I used to disagree with.
Do you think that there is an increased hyper-competitiveness in our society now?
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah, I mean, it's sort of what's your name again, brother?
Vincent,
sort of what Vincent said earlier, you know, it's, I sort of see both, you know, it's like either competition or more and more people are becoming more aware and they're not competing with each other as much, you know, it's more of a team effort, you know, people are becoming more and more aware and seeing that we're all in this together. But at the same time, on the other side of the spectrum, there is, you know, that increase of, you know, I have to open up my store and make it better than the store that's right across the street that's very similar to mine, or, you know, I have to, I don't know, just,
yeah.
I see an increase in competition, but also a decrease in competition as well. Depends on what world in which you're really living.
Perhaps it is more down to the individual, which is kind of what you're both saying in different ways, perhaps.
What I think we're seeing is that both there are arguments supporting both sides. So I think that it might be best to consider the internet as a tool, kind of like a hammer you can use or misuse it, or a car.
Certainly, I think perhaps the quality of the relationships we have on the internet plays into whether it increases or decreases empathy. I mean, if you have very shallow interactions with people, whether it's physically or virtually, you're probably not going to care about them very much. I guess the social media world lends itself to a lot more shallow interactions, but if you have deeper interactions, then you are going to perhaps feel empathy.
Oh, yeah. I've learned so much. Actually, I believe things that have led to me feeling more empathetic and awakening more originally came from the internet. You know, it originally came from Facebook and stuff like that. That's because I chose to only look at the things in which were positive and were and raised the consciousness in a sense, such as Alan Watts and individuals of that nature whom spoke a lot on empathy and connection and stuff like that. So if it is used as a tool, I feel you can learn a lot, you know, so much about it. But once again, if it's just misused,
yes,
for...
One of the other thing that's been found with recent studies, as well as a decrease in empathy, there's been an increase in narcissism. Do you see the internet as playing any part of that, or do you think there's other things in our culture that are creating that?
I would say there are other things, like, for instance, carrying a camera all the time, being that cameras have exploded in ubiquity. I would say that's probably more related to it rather than, say, if no phones had cameras but they had all of this internet access. I don't know that people would... I don't think we'd be seeing this. I think that might be a misidentification.
Huh. So, you're thinking of kind of Instagram and Snapchat when you're saying that, are you? Or Facebook as well?
Or just the fact that selfie is now a defined word by Weber's.
I mean, it does seem, though, that, you know, people on social media, they're very concerned. People are doing it a lot, you know, for their number of likes. People are on Instagram, they want to know that 300 people liked their photograph. I mean, do you think that we're looking more outside ourselves for our identity, perhaps?
Well, I think it's kind of easy to do that because it is emotionally rewarding to get, like, a like of a photo. And I think that, you know, I think it's just easy to not necessarily know whether or not or how much to indulge in that, you know, because I think it's probably, you know, being that it is emotionally rewarding, I'm sure it's easy for people to overindulge.
Yeah. Do you see an increase in narcissism, do you think?
I don't know that I see an increase in narcissism, really, because, I don't know, like Vincent, you know, I haven't been on this earth that long, at least this time, and so I can't really see what I've seen increased or decreased, but I can say from personal experience, I choose not to use post on social media for that instance, because I would see an increase in narcissism in myself, you know?
Yeah. And finally, do you think part of a reduction in empathy could be because we're just in information overload, that we're just trying to absorb so much, you know, sort of as another tragedy, another shooting, another drought, another famine, you know, or even not even bad information, but just so much information?
I would say that has a large part of it, especially because we've seen kind of a huge rise in the amount of people's lives to which we have access. You know, another way to get the idea across is a study I read where people were really concerned about, oh no, bacteria populations in their server have exploded. But it turns out that the only change was that the researchers were just using much better equipment. And so they were just now counting all of the bacteria.
Yeah.
And now in this situation, we have people showing, you know, all of their lives on their social media accounts. So I would say that maybe, you know, it's not necessarily that there's more narcissism. I mean, there probably is some more narcissism, but I think a large part of it is that we're seeing a lot more now than we saw before that was probably extant before the social media phenomenon.
So you just think it's more visible?
I'd say that's a contributing factor.
And what about you? Do you sense a sort of information overload that makes it harder to feel deeply about things?
On that side of it, it might... Okay, first, let me just say what's on my mind regarding that. You know, all that information that's coming out that's putting fear within pretty much everyone who comes across this information is not making the situation at all any better whatsoever, because us as human beings are also creators. So what we're thinking about, we're creating. So if we're constantly thinking about war or some crazy disease or something like that, which we just recently learned about through the internet or through the media whatsoever, we're going to continue to manifest that on a bigger level throughout the world. So it's going to continue to not get any better. But if we started to be informed with positive things and our minds were changed into a positive mindset, then the world would get much better a lot quicker. So being full of fear, I would say, would desensitize people.
Right.
In a sense.
Yeah. And I guess, as you were saying earlier, the internet
could work either way in that sense. You know, either it could increase your fear, or if you're, depending on what you're consuming on the internet, it could decrease it and make you feel more at one with the world.
I would say that because you know, for example, the say in entertainment media, we don't really have a lot of diversity of opinion since media ownership rules were relaxed in the 1990s. But now with social media, you know, we don't have to necessarily watch, you know, a TV show to be entertained. We can just pull out our, you know, phone and check our friend's Facebook account and, you know, say, like their picture. Then that's the content we're consuming. You know, we're more connected with one another and a lot more independent of these, say, media companies that are just trying to sell ad time anyway.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, both of you, for your opinions. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. Thank you very much to all the people who took part in the On the Street conversations this week. As I usually say each week, I really think it is quite daunting for somebody to stop and ask you quite deep questions. So I'm always very appreciative of people taking the time to be thoughtful about that, and the whole purpose of the Out and About feature is to try to ask questions that make us think, and certainly I'm making the people on the street do that, but I'm hoping that that might be your experience as well listening to this hour. Remember, if you have any comments, you can email me ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. I'd love to hear your opinions. And also if you go to the website itsaquestionofbalance.com, you can listen to all previous shows there as podcasts, both my special guests from the arts, we've had some wonderful people, and also all the different topics. Next up is my special guest, award-winning singer-songwriter and writer, Tyler Stenson. He's known for his beautifully crafted lyrics, wonderful haunting music and vocals. He really is a fabulous artist, so I hope you can stay for the second hour. We're going to be playing some tracks and talking to him about his new single and his new children's Christmas book as well. So see you after the break.